And some of you may have learned in Scholas Gemara, the famous Machlokas Abai and Rava, but Yir Shalom Midas. Let's read the Gemara together. For some of you may bring back old memories. I'm told that some of you actually just started in Bekiyas, so you know it from yesterday. Hit by Yir Shalom Midas. Abai Omar, Lo Ava Yish, Rava Mahava Yish. Rashi, Yir Shalom Midas, Dover Shestamo Yir Shayeda, Shelf Menu, Ukshemitso, Adailo, Yodu, Abailam, Shelf Man, a simple case. Reuben loses something. When Reuben finds out that he lost it, he's going to say, forget it, Violet Chasar and Kiss, I lost it. But the thing is, he doesn't know he lost it yet. Meanwhile, Shimon chances upon it. What's Taloch? Abai said, Lo Ava Yir Shayeda, Rashi, Lechemim Farish, Pluk Taya. Rava Maviyush says the Gemara. Bedova sheyesh bo simen kulam lo pligi lo aviyush. Afal gav de shamina de miyash the besof lo aviyush originally the chiyas aliyade. When the person when Shimon picked it up, the suru the chiyas aliyade had no right. Why to take it? Why the chiyada the nafal minay lo miyash? At that point he hadn't given up yet. Meimar Amar Simon is libigavei. Yahavna Simona Vishakil Nale. Okay, so that kind of a case, Rabosai, you had no right to pick it up, to keep it. It's considered to be called Bi'isura. You had no right to take it, and therefore, it's not yours. Rashi, the Miyash of Besof, Achash of Otzuzer, Chloe the Yish, going to Amma Vaila Chasor and Kiss, to Goliadaita Shinoshman, he gives up on it. Bi'isura Sali Yode, to Dova Sheino Osilis Yashu. Not normally gonna give up on it. So far, so good. Now, next case number two. Bezuto shiyam uvishluluso shonor. Rabbi says, anybody here have family who lives in the five towns Far Rockaway area? Anybody have any family there? They experience this literally. Zuto shiyam uvishluluso shonor. The sea and the bay rose up and carried things away. My grandson's learning Perigel and Messias right here at the beginning. And they had a sukkah, living in Woodmere, beams in the sukkah. And if you know the geography, they live in Glen Drive, right behind the house. And they found the sukkah in the river on Peninsula Boulevard, past the shul. And then it was swept away by the tide. Mamish. And others are literally in New York, sandy, we fulfilled the din of the Gemara. Zuto Shiyam. Shlitzah Shonar, I forgot the Yisbe Simon. Yeah, he has a Simon in his sukkah. Rachman Shariyeh. Do you remember? Come on, because it's lost. Rashi Zutul Shayam. Mekomas Misfas Shayam Shaderach Hayam Lachz Al Achor of Yud Parsos or Chamishas of Parsos. Wee. The Shotef Masha Motzasham. This takes it all away. Wow. Amazing. Rachman Shariyeh. I feel the boss of the other boss of the Fdayish. The come on later on. Shut for now. Good. There's a cost. Fine. So what's so far there's no room for any machlokas or bayam rova. What are they fighting about? Says Marcus. Keep pligi bedavash ain't bo simon. There's no simon. I buy him a law of a yish, push it. To hello yoda the dafamine. So when he picked it up, Reuben didn't know he lost it, so Shimon cannot be koneh. Rava says no. Havish, why? The lechiyada the nafuminei miyash. When he finds out that he lost the Moshe Bo Simon, he's going to give up for sure. I'll never get it back. Memela halachically meyash tohu the miyash. Because it works retroactively. It's considered ready from now. You didn't even heard about it. It's considered to be yush. Everyone with me so far? You may be familiar with the fact that although normally in every case except for six in Shas was a machlokas and buyer of we pass like whom? But there's six exceptions. What are they called? Do I know? What's yud? Yeah, so we pass like a buy. Okay, good. We pass like a buy. So if I pick it up, a davish ain bo simon. I picked it up before there was miyash. Called the rubber, it belongs to me. Have a yish. Called the buy. Love each. And therefore what? So then what happens? Doesn't say. So the Rambam, you have the Bechoros? The Rambam talks about this in the 15th parak of Hilchos Gezeilah V'Aveda. Then we'll not have, we'll have some extras. If you don't have, raise your hand, I'll give it to you. Everyone has. Can't read the whole Rambam, but we'll just read the last two lines. Rambam says, if Ava v'natlo, oslach zero l'sham, it's like a case of Hinuach, you can't put it back. V'yim ha'yadav ha'sha'ein bo simen, zacha bo, v'nechayav l'hachlis. Psh. It's yours. Said the Ravid, what are you kidding? Dovah z'ena m'chuv etzli, she yiskebo l'atzo. Abel yamad b'yado, at sheyavo l'yo. Oh, we'll see so exactly what the case is talking about. Says the Kesef, Magad Mishnah, Zubem is kosher, Vale mehech yiskebo v'yeh shalov, alo kodam ha'yush, bo l'yado. Here he goes. Magad Mishnah assumes it's going on every case. What's the case? Dovah shein bo simen, the Allah Gemara, Yesh Lamidas, Dovah Shein Simen, Zochabo, Penachayav Lach Zero. Yesh Bo Simen, Chayav Lachos. But there's Dovah Shein Bo Simen. Why is the Magad Mishnah? We pass Yesh Lamidas, Lov Yish. Psh. Ain't Turk Lomba Bavadi Hinduach, Lafal Kamine, Lil Not, Lov Yiskalo, Lafilu, Suffolk Hinduach, Vadalo Zochabo, the Sveku, Muderach the Filo was Zochabo. Then the Motzei Dovah She'en Bo Simen. What does that mean? Oh, Shuderach Anocha, V'ochi Bo Liyod, Kodem Yish. U'svega Ki Agavna, the Chumra. B'yish Lomidas. Kva Yisigur Rav Ramzal, the Raven. Yama Shavu Liyo. The Ramban said so, the Rashbo said so, Rabbi Yonason said so. All against the Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah defends the Rambam and says, this is the last wide line on top, it says in Chaf Aleph and Beis, Pluk to the Rabbi Verovah, B'yish Lamidas, Havid B'dovah She'en Bo Simen, Ifzga Hilchus HaKabaye, D'yom HaYish Lamidas, La'av Yish, Shem Deho Lo Yodah D'Nof Laminei, Hayna Lomar, She'osru Lo Litle, he had no right taking in the first, but he should have left it there. Aval Lem Ova, V'Natolam, Zocha Behem, from the cave and shehein biyodo, for any odel the miach zire, shehein b'hem simen, and the mokom shen atolam ainu lachzira, kamosh it is bar, memele zocha b'hem, den lanu, loma shiyam, the what shiyavo liyo, alehecha diit merhochi behedjin. It says, in the few cases in Shas, yemurach atshavo liyo, then yes, he never said that in our context, he never said it. These words require a little bit of explanation. We'll take a look at it in the Shach. The Shach explains this here in Simon Reish Samach, Sif, Katan, Chavav. The Shulchan Aruch, as usual, quotes the Rambam. Harayvit, Vatur, Isigal Azeh, Temurach HaShev Aliyo, as the Rambam says in Sif Yud, different case. Even the Magad Mishnah says the Rambam and the Rashbol that way. Yesh Lamedas. Yeah. So on the second narrow line, the page Kuf Pem Ches, up you have it, the Shach says, listen, yes, Daiti, Ein Kan Shum Asok Al Rama. Ad Rama. Pshal Lishna Dashas. What Lishna Dashas? What's he mean, Lishna Dashas? Presumably he means the Gemara. On Daf Chav Heyam and Beis. On Chav Heyam and Beis, the Gemara's expression of the situation is, Sofik Yiduch Hathilo Yito, Kimnatal, Lo Yachzir. You don't put it back in that place. It should have said, Yemurach HaShiyav Aliyo. Why is it Lo Yachzir? Rashi explains Lo Yachzir. Tolek HaDiyav Simana. There's no simon. We're going to put it back for. So it should have said Yemurach. So the Shach is Medayik. It didn't say Yemurach as it says elsewhere in Shas. Again, Mashmash Shalom. Tim Lo Kein Abel Lefrushi Yemurach HaShiyav Aliyo. Afal Gav Dehav Yishlam Medas. Look what he says now. Yochol lasas bo mashi yirtza. For the kaim on yish, the medas lavi yish, could come on. Simon Reish Takabes of Yil. Hainu! The inizbore shomiyu, sorech lach zero. If you find out later it belongs to some or other, to be a sign of a talent chocham or some other simon you didn't realize existed, you're required to give it back. Flamina came in the siash zachazabel. Aval kozman shalon is barashel mihu. Yochol ze lasasbo masha yirtze. So the case of Mishnah is the same thing. A chiddush go. Allowed to use it while you have it, and basically you can keep it. So you can keep it. Presumably, it can just remain there forever. Aliyonah becomes. Don't worry about it. But you don't have to be munach, you have to be like, leave it in the corner. Rabbi Sametzky Shaila. If it says Yemunach at Shevel Yon in a few places in Shas, where is that pile from the time of the Mishnah? What happened to that Yemunach at Shevel Yon Machsan? Where is it? Where is it? Where did it go? The answer is, in this kind of case, you follow the Rambam. The person picked up a davar she'ein bo simen. He's not required to keep out Shevel Yon. He can use it. The guy produces a simen, let's give it back to him. But the next question becomes, if you hold, for argument's sake, that against the Rambam, let's say you hold that you, it's Yemunach at Shevel Yon, are you required to pick it up in the first place? So, Dava Shein Bo Simen, you are Meshar that is Lonis Yashua Bailim. Must you pick it up until you put it into Yemunach Shel Yon pile? Keep it growing, growing, after I rent out a new dira for and pay money for Yon Shel Yon. What can you say? What's the point of picking it up? What am I going to gain of picking it up? What's to be gained? What's to be gained?
It's okay, this is Bade.
I pass something by.
Bade Nefila?
It's Derech Nefila. And it's a Dava. From my perspective, lone is Yashubo Abaylam, but it's Ebo Simen. That's the fight over here is what do you do with it? The Rama says you can keep it, and the other posts say you cannot keep it. Am I required to pick it up in the first place? Yes or no? What do you say? It's not found in the Gemara. The Gemara never discusses, the Gemara discusses, is it mine or not? Yishlo B'das. Rabbi says it's mine. Abaya said it's not mine. Maybe it's not mine. The Shach explains that if a guy comes and gives me his, proves it's his, I have to give it to him. What does the Rabbi say? Not mine. I'm not allowed to use it. I'm not allowed to write it. Fine. I'm asking a more fundamental question. When I see it in the street,
what capacity be the mitzvah to pick it up?
Oh, so what's the point of picking it up? It serves no goal. So that's to say, you're mechayim to a mekiveg. Kiveg says an aldaf chof alf medbeis in drush v'chiddush. Okay, not drush v'chiddush, not the yonashas. Quote: Ukemoshe nirech shemotzei davar shein bo simen v'lo yodu abaylin min afila the eino mechuyav lagbia. You're not required to pick it up. You're not required to pick it up. You don't have to pick it up. If you look at this Nesivis, which is a different page in this version of the Shulchan Aruch, he says in Simon Reish Samach of Kod, your base also sounds that way. You're not required to pick it up. That's why there's no big pile of Achiev Olio. Because people just leave it there. Maybe they'll come back and find it. Pick it up. There's no way I can give it back to them. They say about Simon. Because Yesh Bo Simen, presumably I get it back to him. And if for some reason I did pick it up, only according to the Rabbi, the Emunach, according to the Rambam, you're allowed to use it. I should presumably really tell your Yorshim, this I found in the street. 70 years later, they'll just say, give it out to their Yorshim, to their Yorshim, to their Yorshim. Ah, after all those years, I don't think that's going to happen, but now maybe it's not even necessary after such a long period of time. Bottom line is, there's no Yemunach HaShevel Yo Machsan. Doesn't exist. Again, Kivega says you're not required to bend down and pick it up, because what are you going to do with it? Tein Bo Simen. Can't give it back. If you did pick it up, what do you do? You did pick it up before the guy was Miyash. According to the Rambam, you can hold on to it and use it, but if he shows up and proves it's his, you have to give it back to him. According to the Rambam, Yemunach HaShevel Yo can't even use it.
If it's a
suffix,
well, it's a simon. Doesn't
it
have to pick it up? At least
I don't have to
see
if it's a simon.
If it's a suffix,
simon.
Then you're stuck
already with it. You hear what he says? Very good. You see someone on the floor. You have no idea if it's a simon or not?
No.
You don't know. You can't tell. Since you can't tell, you should pick it up. Then he says, no simon. Now you're stuck. According to the Rambam, you can use it. According to the Rambam,
yeah. What
are
you claiming it back? According to the Rambam, he said, there's no simon. What can you use to claim back?
Let's say I have a Talmud Chacham, was a Tvias Ayin. The Gemara says that he recognizes that it's his. He has the credibility and the ability to say that it's his. So if it's his, so he's you give it back to him. At least lifnei mishur hadin. He says it's mine. He has some credibility in your eyes.
Oh. What about if somebody leaves something happened in one's house? Your dog involved, but it's Narita in somebody's own house.
So we know that there should be a problem with Yisurah Saliyadeh if you want to be Kona, because if it's Yesh Bo Simen, right? And if it's Ein Bo Simen, then Pashtus is the same thing applies, the same Achlovus Rambam and the Ravid. According to the Rambam, no one comes to claim it's Ein Bo Simen. So you can keep it, use it, as long as you want. According to the Ravid, you have to put in your Yemunach pile. Same thing. So these are important halachas as far as Hashavas Aveda. Just let's review for a minute. If it's Yesh Bo Simen, you pick it up and you give it back. I must be honest with you, for those who live in Chutz Lartz, Yesh Bo Simen, as Mokam Shabrov Nachrim, the guy doesn't expect to get it back, it's Yesh right away, you're allowed to keep it, technically speaking. But, Lifnim Yeshua Zadin, you should return it. So later on. If someone has a Simen, his name is on it. Just that the he presumably gave up on it because they dropped it in a negotiation section and that, well, they won't give it back. So you can keep it, but if them Yeshua said then, you should be giving it back. Fine. That's not Chazer again. That's Yesh Basimen. Ein Basimen, Kivega says, just leave it there. You picked it up, you thought it had a Simen, it didn't. Now what do you do? Can't put it back. According to the opinion of the Ravid Yemunach, according to the Rambam, you can hold on to it indefinitely and use it indefinitely. One could argue, if I pick it up just like this to see if it has a simen, I can put it right back. What's the that argument? Anybody pick it up. Pick it up means to pick it up, either to keep it, pick it up to return it. Yeah, I picked it up just to see if it's a simen. I can't guarantee there's no simen on the other side. So I never really picked it up, the Shemak Boas Aveda. That's an arguable point, which the post can...
According to Rambam, by picking it up, would you be Kone, technically? Or?
So according to the Pshat of the Shach, it technically speaking, it really belongs to the person who lost it. And therefore, if he comes, you have to give it back to him. But notwithstanding that fact, I have a right to use it indefinitely. You're asking, how's that possible? How can I use somebody else's object? That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
It's an excellent question. That's why the other person don't like the Shach, don't like the Rambam. Not yours, I can use it. It's a derivative question. It's not mine, how can I use it? Yeah?
Is there any sense of retroactivity if you pick it up to check if there's a simon and it turns out there's no simon? In that sense that, according to the Rambam, you could just have acquired
it. That's how I suggested. You picked it up, you didn't really pick it up. Because you have right to put it, drop it right back down. Maybe. But that's what it says in the Sfar. Okay, so this, Rav Osai, it's part one of today's shiur. We're speaking about this serious matter, and I recommend for you, if there's no simon, just leave it there. You're increasing the chances of getting it back. If there is a simon, pick it up and try to return it. And if there's no simon, and you think that the person hasn't found out about it yet, so then...
What would that show be based on?
Whatever show you have, yeah. It's all hard to know. There's a member of our family at the following case. Mamish's case. Elamitzia's case. They were shopping somewhere. They looked down and they found money. Money. Where was the money? Let's see, there was a counter. Person standing by the counter, takes the money, gives that money, takes the money, gives that money. And then the money was found. It was a X shekel bill. It was like on the area outside the counter. Later in Bab Mitzvah, you're going to learn, had it been inside the counter, we assume it belongs to the shopkeeper, and therefore you have to give it back. You know what it belongs to. If it's outside the counter, so now you don't know what it belongs to. If you don't know what it belongs to, then you can keep it. Who says they know about it? The Gemara says, Beferish. Adam Asr, the Mashmash Bekiso, But kol shah, people check their pockets and they lose money, they know that it's lost. Today, the people, I don't know, you have to tell me, the people today check their pockets every single minute to know whether they lost things. Do you or don't you?
Yeah.
You do? Okay, so if you do. If you do, then you do. Then the same thing applies nowadays. Not everyone agrees that that's true. Not everyone agrees that that's true. And those who say the din remains the same. I think a quote from Rabbi Yosef to that effect. Narabosai, can there be something where you can't figure out a particular siman, and maybe there are many identical items or seem to be identical, but you can still make your own siman? Make your own siman. The most is that Mokum siman. What does Mokum siman mean? I forgot in that particular place, but most people don't leave things. That itself is a sin. But what if the place is a place that everyone, people, a lot of people leave things there? Huh? It was Derech Yinuach, right? Put this in there. But there's no specific siman that you can say has a name on or things of this nature. What do you do? I ask you a shali. Malkam Yinuach, we saw it before. Shulchan Aruch discusses it. What is the Sif Tes? What does it say? Yesh b'simen, ain b'simen. What's the derech? What happened over here? What's the bottom? Okay. So we don't have it. Derech hanocha, also digaba, shema ba'olahi nichuasham, ad shi'atzu lo. The bavel, the v'yadav ha'shem b'simen, Rabbi Ibn Mamon Chaveiro, shere ain lo mash b'simen achzir lo. So he could have come back, and now you're causing him a loss. V'yim ha'yadav ha'shi'esh b'simen, Leave it then. Fine. The question becomes, what if you're afraid that by the time, if you leave it there, someone else is going to grab it and he's going to lose it? So let me give you my fascinating personal story of my biggest Hashavas Aveda.
Is that the
shadow
that you're asking
now? Like, there are going around. We have some going around. Right, they're going around. Let me tell you my story. My big Hashem HaSaveda story. It goes back. Before I was married, I used to learn the yeshiva in New York, in Yeshiva University, and I would eat breakfast every morning. And not very often, I'd wash. So I came to the washing station there. There's only one cup, and there's a little ledge on top with a mirror. And I see there glistening in front of me a diamond ring. A diamond ring! Right there on the ledge. My first thought was, if I leave the diamond ring here, a lot of workers around there, it's going to be gone, and it'll be a disaster. Took the ring, put it in my pocket. Then I put that in the washing cup. This is more important. Than to look around behind me. Who does it belong to? Someone probably just washed 5 minutes ago and is not used to having a ring. So I left it there. I had a siman. My own siman. My siman was, had to be someone who was engaged. Someone who's married has an engagement ring and a wedding ring. Someone who's engaged has only a wedding, only an engagement ring. Alumnus. I look around me, there were I think a total of not that many. It was probably 8:30 in the morning. How many women are there b'chlal and eating breakfast that hour? So I see this one lady there, you know, with her hair covered. She's married already. Then there's one boy and a girl eating together, and her hair's not covered. So she looked like maybe she's engaged. She's the lady. My eyes said she's the one. On the other hand, how can I give it back to her? You're not out there. Maybe she's just. I said, "Did you lose the diamond ring?" She'll say, "Yes." I can't do that. And what kind of ring it is, I have no clue. I'll never figure out what it is. I don't know if she knows what it is. He bought it. I had the following idea: I'm not going to tell them what was found, and I'll judge her response and react to see if I can figure out that maybe I have a good simon that she really lost it. I went out and said, "Good morning." I said, "Good morning." The friendly guy says, "Good morning." To the two people, I said, "Did either of you?" I wanted to make it more general. Did either of you lose anything? I said, "That's a very general The girl looks down on her finger and says,
that's really wrong,
that was a simit book. Took out the ring and I gave it to her. That was my thousands of dollars Hashavas Aveda that I did. That was a simit for me. You have to be creative sometimes to be what a simit is. Okay, so that's, yeah. Now what about Hashavas Aveda for someone who was not Me'achena B'nei Yisrael? The pasuk is Avedas Achicha. Achicha comes to exclude someone not from B'nei Yisrael, it's not Achicha. So what's the halacha? That's also found in Shulchan Aruch. That's in Simen Reish Samach Vav Sif Alf. Aveiras hagoy muteres. Shenem aveiras achicha. The mafzira is over aveira. Why? Eshu machzik de over aveira. It's the Rambam's explanation. If you take a look in the smart, he quotes Rashi. It's a different explanation. Rashi and Sanhedrin. But the Rambam says that in those days the goyim were hostile to the Jews, and the more money they have, the more hostile they can be to the Jews. The Meiri says it doesn't apply nowadays, because nowadays, at least in his day, the goyim were more civilized, and therefore there wouldn't be an aveira to give it back. Would there be a mitzvah to give it back? On a simple level, no. The Meiri wants to suggest maybe yes, maybe bizman hazeh that the goyim are gedurim benimusim, that they're much more civilized. Maybe it would even be included in the general category of achicha as it was before Matan Torah, when they were considered b'shala isha miruusa. The Rabbeinu Bechaya there says that before Matan Torah, the non-Jewish mitzvah woman was called Reuusa, Reacha. Presumably Achicha, Reacha is all presumably the same. After Matan Torah, things changed. So the reason things changed in Miri August is because we're keeping the Torah, and then they're not keeping what they have to keep. But if they keep Sheva Mitzvahs, then the Meiri suggests that perhaps it would have the Achim of Hashavas Aveda. It's a minority view. It's found in a few places in Shas. But I want to focus on this. I want to end the Shia because I want to leave time for questions, both on the Shia and in general, for general matters. The last line over here is the most important of all. The Mechzira Lekadesh Shem Shemayim Lekadesh Hashem Kadesh Yefaru Es Yisroel V'yedu Shem Bali Amuna Harayzu Meshubach Tchil Hashem Yechayav Lachzir Kiddush Hashem. It's Meshubach. What's the source for this? Everything has a source. So the source for this, Rabbi Osai, this din, a very, very, very important din, Halacha Lemaisa. The source is a series of midrashim and even gemaras. We find that Gedolei Yisrael returned an aveda to non-Jews in order to achieve Kiddush Hashem. I'll give you one of the stories. The story is found in two places and slightly differently. It's in the Medrash Rabbah Parshas Ekev, and it is a Yerushalmi. Probably not in our perek. Well, maybe it's in Babakam. Shimon ben Shetach was an impoverished rabbi. One day he bought a donkey from a non-Jewish person. His talmidim were overjoyed when they saw something glistening in the donkey, and they found a diamond in the donkey, precious gem. They said, "Look," he said to the Rebbe, "Birchas Hashem hi tashir. Hashem's blessing has made you wealthy." To which Rav Shimon ben Shetach responded. Take a look at the Be'er Agola quotes that are here on the bottom in Os Kimmel. Mi'uvda de Shimon ben Shetach disa b'yushalmi sham perek beis de vava metziah. It's taka here. Halacha hey. U'mikam uvda sham. That's a medrash in Tillim. It's also a medrash rabbah in Parshas Ekev. Shimon ben Shetach's story. No, what do you think? I'm a barbarian? That's what he was. I didn't buy a diamond, I bought a donkey. Give it back. So, they gave it back. And when the non-Jew received the diamond back, the non-Jew proclaimed exactly what Shimon ben Shetach wanted. Baruch Elokei Shimon ben Shetach. He knew the person who bought the donkey. Now he sees that he gives it back. He doesn't just bless Shimon ben Shetach. He blesses the God of Shimon ben Shetach. Because were it not for Shimon ben Shetach's belief in God, he never would have given it back. Who cares, Kiddush Hashem? Because he believes in God, he wants to sacrifice God's name. That's why he gave it back. That's why he achieved his desired end. So if you can give back Avedis Akum and achieve a Kiddush Hashem, that's what you should do. Most important thing in the world. But it's only if you can achieve it. Shimon ben Shetach achieved it because he was known by the person who sold it to him. He knew exactly who he was. He knew he was a chosh of a rabbi. So they gave it back. But if you get Avedas Akam and you give it to someone, they don't even know you're Jewish. So then what kind of kiddush Hashem is that going to be? They don't even know. It's anonymous. So if you give it to the police station, you say, I found a police station, you know, I found this item.
What about to the policeman?
Ah, very good. Kiddush to the policeman. That's very good. Good. That's also kiddush Hashem. Policeman says, here's a guy with a yarmulke. He walks in and he found a lost item. And let's say, for example, let's say, it's a wallet. Well, you can see the name, it says John Jones. So it says, Shaina Yehudi. You give it back. And the policeman says, it's a wallet, you probably can call the person yourself. You have an identifying name, you get to look in the phone book. Right? Now, there's a famous story. The story goes, it's with one of the Magida books, either Rabbi Krohn, Rabbi Teller, one of those books. But someone who was a Balas Tshuva, and the mother's giving her a hard time. And she's a Balas Tshuva, come on, when he joined this group of Orthodox Jews, these fanatics, come on. The story goes that she lost her wallet and it was found by two Frumayin, and they did not get it back. There was nothing on it, it was a lot of money. So they checked her phone book. We're going to check off, you're going to call someone, they're not going to know who it is. Then they found Mom. Mom lives in Florida somewhere. They called up Mom. I figured only one Mom, right? Says, excuse me, we found a wallet. It has a lot of money in it. And the only sign that we could find who it was it said Mom, but the number from Florida. Well, hold on, I'll call the other phone. I'll call my daughter. Call the daughter. Yeah, I lost my wallet. I'm looking for it. There's so much money there. It's all lost. It's terrible. Don't worry. The people found your wallet. So who are the people? I said, I don't know. So she gets on the phone. Who are you? And why are you calling? She says, well, we're Orthodox Jews. And our Torah, it says we're supposed to give back when we find something which is lost. And the only way we do it by calling Mom. And from then on, the mother was so excited that Orthodox Jews, they're not fanatics. They're good people. And they want to do good things. Was a Kiddush Hashem by this mother was enabled the daughter to become, maybe she also became a Baal Tshuva. I have to look in the Magid books. Is it Rabbi Krohn? Rabbi Krohn, I think so, yeah. So it's a happy ending even more than that. She also became happily ever after an Orthodox Jew. I can't guarantee that. But, that'll embellish it a little bit. So I never was privileged to do that. But there were comparable cases, which are the equivalent, if you will, of Avedis Akam. It happened to me once in a snowstorm. So the car that I was driving refused to obey my orders and it slid down a hill and didn't want to turn as I turned the wheel, a chutzpah on the car, and it banged into someone's bumper, and it was a very bad neighborhood, so I jotted down the license plate in the middle of a snowstorm and I just went home and I called the police. I said my car banged into a bumper and I want this, if something went wrong, I want to pay for it. So they were kind enough to call the person. And the person, I said, can you call me? They called me up. Said, you know, I'll be honest with you. The car's a jalopy. And it was true. It was a jalopy. Bigger jalopy than mine, I think. Even. Yeah. But I'm not going to fix this. It's ridiculous. I just hit the front. But you know what? I couldn't open the trunk. Because when you bang into the... And it cost me $75. For the locksmith to come and open it up. I said, good, give me your address, I'll send you a check. So I sent the check, and I went on the return address, Rabbi M. Willick. And I didn't want to do such a thing. But I wanted to be a Kiddush Hashem. I had another story, similarly with a bang into a car, which no one, again, no one saw. And again, a snowstorm. Again, park. Snow is dangerous. I was just back up on the bridge over and it's just banged into somebody for the snow. Didn't know who it was. I put a note in the window. Yeah, well, I wasn't afraid. I am the one. I banged into your car. Whatever damage I want to pay for it. Right? Put it in the windshield. P.S. It was our neighbor who lived on our floor. I think it's a Yehudi. So it was a Kiddush Hashem that he knew who I was. And I paid him for whatever damage was done. It's sort of a kind of a Hashem HaSaveda. Maybe I was Chayav, I was Mazik. Yes, no, I'm not going into it. But no one would have known about it. Nobody was there. I mean, it was just... So we should always try our best to be kind of Shem Shemayim. I want to tell you, to speak in a more general sense about these things, people sometimes take advantage of what they call Tos Akum. I made a mistake, I can keep it. So the Be'er HaGolo in Simen Shin Mem Ches, you can find it in any Choshen Mishnah, every single one, says like this, Ani Kosev Zeladoros, I'm writing for all generations. I assume there's no Choshen Mishnah in this room, so I'll tell it to you about that. You can look it up. That I know many people who took advantage of Tos Akum, some they even fooled the guy, which is even worse, and they became wealthy. The wealth didn't last. Or lenachasim yodul letimoyon. Lo hishiru achrayim brocha. This is a command verbatim. They didn't leave anything to their children. It was just lost down the tubes. But I also know of others who have ziru avedas atos akum. B'dabar choshev, a lot of money, not just a $5 bill, you get extra change, give it back, which is also praiseworthy, wearing a yama, Kiddush Hashem. But, you know, much, much more money. Okay, they give it back, so then they're poor. No, godlu v'hitzlichu, they became, Hashem rewarded them, they became shiru, they became rich, v'hinichu yisram la'olaleim, and they left over for their children who were also wealthy. When I say this story, I'm reminded of a book, which is a story which is printed in a book. This book, I know which the book is, not a Magen book. It's a book written by Amos Bunim, all of us know about his father. It's called A Fire in His Soul. My sister edited it, since I know the book. I got a copy. Apparently, way back in the 40s, Mr. Irving Bunim, all of us know him, was a very distinguished balabas. He was the president of my yeshiva, RJJ. He was the right-hand man of Rabbi Aaron Kotler, whose 50th yard was just last week. He was his spokesperson. There was a huge amount of money that he received by a mistake. Tens of thousands of dollars then. That would be now hundreds of thousands of dollars. He gave the check back. And unlike today, we may catch it with a computer. In those days, if you put it in the bank, it'd be his, they would never even know. No one ever know the difference. He gave it back, made a Kiddush Hashem. So, as a result, he became wealthy. I don't know if he was wealthy before, he became more wealthy. He left money for his children. And if those who know the extended family, the third generation of the Bunim family, know that one of the very wealthy, successful individuals in the Jewish scene, the Orthodox Jewish scene, I think he may own the Yated now, is a grandson-in-law of Mr. Irving Bunim. Should be good. And it has to be because of the bracha of what he did. The Be'er HaGolos bracha. So Rabosai, what they say, you can do well by doing good. That's an expression in America today. But there's a promise in the Be'er HaGolos. I'll end with this. The Smag, the famous Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, the Smag, the Rishon, says as follows. I'm writing this to teach you that the reason why the Golos is so long is because, unfortunately, members of Klal Yisrael are not so honest, especially when it comes to non-Jews, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch cannot bring the Mashiach. If he brings the Mashiach, the guy will say, "Wow, Chilul Hashem! These thieves! They deserve the Mashiach. What kind of God is this?" If they will do Kiddush Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch will bring the Mashiach, and the people will say, "Oh, they deserve the Mashiach. They're such upstanding, honest people." So Rabbi said, "Not only can you do well by doing good, as the Baragola said, but you can even bring the Mashiach by doing good." Prepare of your main amen. So a little bit of time for some questions. First questions on the Shir, and then questions for about 10 minutes on any other topic that you choose. Yes, the Rebbe first.
Last week, America called me. They asked me to get on the train. I assumed the LA double R, and one boy didn't buy a ticket. He planned buying a ticket on the train, and the person never came around. And the other boys bought tickets, but the person never came around to punch the tickets.
Right.
So, if I'm understanding correctly, the person who didn't buy anything, he could make a Kiddush Hashem by going to the teller the next time he goes on the train saying, "One time I went on the train, I didn't pay here, I'm paying now." But the boys who already bought a ticket, so to throw out the old ticket, they're not going to kind of change mind unless, of course, they go out of their way. I'm assuming they go out of their way to tell here, "I have this thing, I'm showing it to you. I want my new ticket because this is an old ticket."
Well, when they get off the train, they can go to the teller and say, "Listen, this is I came from Woodmere, not the Penn Station, and you should know this is the ticket that I bought at Woodmere, but the guy didn't come to collect it. Here, okay. I'll be a Kiddush Hashem." If they can do a Kiddush Hashem, they should do it. If they can't, then they shouldn't. Yeah.
Are religious Jews included in Achilcha when it comes?
That's an excellent question. I dodged that one. I didn't want to talk about it. I have the sefer which I borrowed from one of the rabbanim here. He does discuss it. I skipped it. I'll just give you what he says. This way, if I quote somebody else, I'm on safer ground. Hold on. Let's go slow. It's in Perek Beis. First one of Avedas Nachri. Avedas Mumar and Chiloni. Oh. So someone who's a Ochel Avedas Lahachis, a Pekoris, Machal Shabbos for Hesya, maybe treated like a Nachri. But Ochel Avedas Lateyavon, you have to get back as Aveda. So there's Machiloni. Chayev lahashiv. You have to give it back. Unless you know, he's a Mumma lahachis. Who passed there? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yoshev, Rabbi Nissen Karelitz, Tinok Shenishba. Tinok Shenishba. Unless the guy's a Mumma lahachis, he rebels against God. Rabbi Yoshev of Karelitz said that it shouldn't be done. Presumably. Okay.
There's no other questions. I have a segue from that to an outside question this year.
Go.
So, it's different though by the mitzvah of Tokcha, right? Because it has to be Amecha, and would Kiddush Yeshua be included in...
That's an excellent question. If you look at the Bir Halacha, in Simen Tov Reish, somewhere around there in Hilchos Yom Kippur, where he talks about the Dinamut of Shusholim by Mezidin. He says, somebody who's not a chicha b'torah v'mitzvahs, there's no din of ochech tochicha samisech. Not a misech b'torah v'mitzvahs. You're not mechuyif. You're not mechuyif. This doesn't mean that if you have an opportunity to do kiruv, you shouldn't do it. Of course you should do kiruv. It's the biggest mitzvah in the world to bring him back and make him into a chicha b'mitzvahs. It's the biggest mitzvah in the world. But, technically speaking, again, a pesach from Rabbi Yoshev, you're not required. Someone says, "Guy, the Mechal Shabbos, he doesn't understand your language. He won't respond properly to it. You have to experts in Kiruv to bring him in, you know, in a nice way. They should do it. But some the person walks in the street. The case that Rabbi Osman told me, he used to visit relatives in Tel Aviv, and the neighbor next door would wash his car every Saturday at Shabbos. It bothered him. So he went to Rabbi Yoshev. He said, "There's no chiyuv of tochacha because He's not going to accept it from you. It's just not a mitzvah of a Torah mitzvah. Whether it's Tinnish Nishma or not, I don't know. But either way, it's a little tricky. Not every case, I was careful not to quote the language. Le'inyan Zeh, Prashavas HaVeda, we treat this individual as a Tinnish Nishma and therefore say, it's a Chiyuv HaShavas HaVeda. Other areas of Halacha, even if he is a Tinnish Nishma, he may still not be in the category of Achich, because de facto, he's not performing Torah mitzvahs. It's very likely it's possibly Eidus. And saying it's possibly Eidus sounds cruel and harsh, but at the end of the day, it's the best psak in the world. Say it's possibly Eidus. Why? Because there are many weddings that take place in the presence of these individuals, and they terminate without a kosher get. If you'll say a detail of kosher Eidus, you have tremendous problems with mamzerus, a little sin of terrible things. If you say that they're possibly Eidus, then the marriage wasn't a marriage in the first place, and then there's no mamzeris later down the road. So I'm not trying to say that we passed it because of a reason, but it can't hurt. Rabbi Moshe passes that way, it's possibly Eidus, and Rabbi Moshe passed all these kiddushim are no good, and although the conservatives took offense, but ultimately he's doing the biggest favor in the world, that the product of second marriage without a kosher again are now kosher level b'kol. Yeah.
So what's the chiluk by Shavas HaVeda that religious Jew would be included in
Ashkenazi? That requires a gedolei olam to figure out, when do we say that we treat him as a chicha if it's Tinnish Nishma? When do we not say? So that's beyond the purview of this the 5 minutes we have left. Suffice to say that it's a bit complex. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I was going to say, so is the overriding theme of why we don't need to give it back, is it because they are it's because these people, the people who we're talking about, the goyim or irreligious Jews, because they don't keep mitzvot, or they're just immoral. We're assuming.
I'd say they're immoral. Who said they're immoral?
Or they just don't.
They're not a chicha, but Torah mitzvah. So not a chicha at all. So again, the Meiri said that they may have to give it back to goyim as man hazeh. If they're gedurim b'nimusim, that they're a civilized people, presumably they keep the shabbos b'nei noach. That's why I understood it.
Is a derech? So is a definition of. Of achicha, just someone who keeps mitzvot? Is that basically...
That's what Chazal say. That's what the Birch quotes there from the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, I think. Achicha b'tar v'mitzvot.
But wouldn't you want to give it back to the religious Jew regardless because of Kiddush Hashem?
Absolutely. If you give it back to a Goy of Kiddush Hashem, Kavachomer, you give it back to a Yisrael Chiloni. I think it's a Kavachomer. But I'm talking about a case where there is no Kiddush Hashem. You just can't. Not every case can you effectuate Kiddush Hashem. It doesn't work sometimes. Mm-hmm. Technically, this doesn't happen. Can't do it. Who has the more questions? If anyone, speak now or forever hold your peace. Yeah.
Question on the Shir again. For the Rambam who says, actually for the Rambam who says that you can't use
Yemunah.
Yemunah. It's because I'm guessing there's still some sort of. Some sort of connection to the Baal.
Right.
So, therefore, is there still a mitzvah like Eishav Aveda, but more like latently there, so you should pick it up possibly?
It seems to me that it's not in the best interests of the owner of the object if you pick his item up if there's no sin. Because he may come back when he realizes that he lost it and get it back. If you pick it up and there's no simon, how's he going to find you? He'll never get it back. So you're doing him a favor by not picking it up.
That's
what Rabbi Kivega probably meant. That Dafka not to pick it up. That you don't have to pick it up. Should Dafka not pick it up?
How does a person desire that in the face of an Isser Daraisa of what we call a sound?
No, it's Ein Bo Simen. It's not Shaykh. Ein Bo Simen, you can't give it back.
So let's go to. All the different things that Chazal say at the beginning of Amziyas,
right.
All the different things about what a person cares about, doesn't care about. Nowadays, based on the financial realities that have changed a lot and the economic differences, so for the person who can find so many different objects in the street, which maybe nowadays you can assume people are not going to be running back after, but they'll feed the Ikra Din. So it has a simon and it's something that's worth.
If it has a simon, you should pick it up and call. Is it the name? Look at the name in the phone book and call.
Oh, this is a person finds that. It's a purple pencil lying in the middle of the street. The middle of the street. It's one thing to imagine. The middle of the street. What are the chances that someone's going to come and say, "I lost the purple pencil"? Come to me. very small chance. Unless he has a simon.
So pick it up and call it up the name of this purple pencil.
Right, but let's say that the simon is just that it's a purple pencil.
Nah, that's not a purple pencil. Like we bought it in the store. We had 1,000 purple
pencils. Another shot that happened to me, but I was once shopping in a store and I took a cart and it was a supermarket and leaning against the corner of the cart, you couldn't see it, was a roll of aluminum foil, same color as the cart. And I took the cart from somebody who had just finished shopping.
Right.
So the question is, I couldn't find a guy. So I called up anonymous Rabbi X who told me, Lav Dafka, it belongs to him, maybe it belongs to the store. And you know they're putting all the aluminum foil on the shelf, and the Ruka took it. And the same way that this guy missed it, and you missed it, you know, in the beginning. So too, he missed it. There's no raya b'chlal that he paid for it because it's in a car that belongs to the store, and obviously it's in a place that it got tucked away. It wasn't near the eye and so on. Right. So who said it's his b'chlal? So he says that it's in the property of the car belongs to the store. So unless you have a raya that it belongs to the fellow. So you can't. You're stuck.
It's stuck. You go back to the store.
But Mitzad Sheni, it could be close to the guy.
But the guy, you can't find the guy. You'll never find the guy.
Right. So we suffer. You go back to the store.
What else? If the rabbi said you can keep it, it's Rumsak. Right. This is that you have to. He said.
So he says, "Come back, Rumsak."
What?
And from neighborhood. So
what? I found tinfoil in a store. That's like. That's not right. How did? I'll tell you to get it back to the store. Keep it. That's a Kane really. Yes.
Regarding that case, if you find it in the cart, is that hinuach? Is that munach?
It was munach. Yeah.
Is that enough? Why
it wasn't nafal? He put it down. He left it there.
He put it there. So you're saying he put it there purposely? I thought munach is that you put it there purposely with the intent of coming back to it.
He did, but he didn't come back to it. Whoever put it down wanted to take it out. They just didn't catch it. Okay, Rabosai. Yeah, one more question. It's supposed to be 12 o'clock downstairs. Yeah.
Compromise, so if somebody leaves something in your house, if it has no simon, so then you can do it. I have two cases. Somebody once left a scarf in my house, Tom, and last year someone left a sitter with a name on it. It's a generic name. I have no clue who belongs to it. I've been holding on to this sitter.
We had a mark that somebody left by us in the shul, so we called him up. We said, "Keep it." Okay. So, but
or you have a work because he asked, leaves a buying tool.
Should give it back. So Kiddush Hashem is always possible if something's left in your house. If you can't give it back, you should give it back. And if you can't give it back, so the pashas is you can use it. It's even a discussion. Well, I'll end with this. Baba Basra says that if you discard the kelim b'beis ha'uman, you switch to coats, so you can't use it. It happened this past Friday night, mamish, 2 days ago. I was in one of the yeshivas in the old city, and my son comes to get his coat, and they turn the lights off and chavres to make a singing, you know, matzah bazaar. Don't ask me how they do that, but that's what happened. And the other, it's not his coat. He sees a simon muvig, it's not his coat. Why? In the pocket was a bag of, is it called bamba? Bamba. And he had no bamba. So he went over to the son of the Rashim and said, "I know exactly whose coat it is, because he was given bamba, it's Ploni's coat, it was pouring. Take his coat, and tomorrow we'll be schal if the coat's back." The kacham. It's based a little bit on a shach in Shin Nun Ches. The shach goes against the Tosfos on the Chof Beis Amud Aleph above Metzia. Now Metzia will get to it in the Bekiyas. That is an umdun in the Muchach. There's no question he'd want you to use his coat and not get a cold because he took your coat. Left you with nothing. It's Chalf. Some posts can apply that to other things. People mix up umbrellas all the time. It's an umdun in the Muchach. He took your umbrella, he wants you to take his, otherwise you're going to get sick.
So what did the Gemara?
So wasn't it was a case where maybe they couldn't give it back. Or maybe it's a little bit of a difference. It wasn't the Nebuchach. They caught it not safer there. From Rav Yosher, Rav Shlomo Zalman, some of the cases, Chalfa, if his man is there. that certainly exists. We'll stop here because we're out of time. Beyond says, thank you for listening.